Welcome back. 7 months ago, St. Louis Public Radio and the St. Louis Beacon formally merged, bringing two established news organizations under one roof here at Grand Center. Regular listeners are by now familiar with the additional journalistic muscle in our on-air and online content. Joining me in studio to talk about where we are, how we've gotten here, and where we're going are Tim Eby, St. Louis Public Radio General Manager, and news editor Margie Freivogel. Thank you both for being with us. Nice
good
to see
afternoon.
You.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
A long walk to the studio from just down the hall, I must say.
I'm breathless.
Well, let's get into the conversation. Tim, I'll start with you. How is this new symbiotic relationship going?
It has gone, I think, amazingly well. I think anytime in any kind of organization, if you bring two different cultures together, there's always a risk of clash and disagreement and tension and all of those dynamics that go together whenever you bring two different organizations. And I think if you and I'm with two journalists here, so if you bring two groups of journalists together, there's perhaps increased danger. But it has been, I think, remarkably well received by our staff, the staff from both the former Beacon staff that came over, as well as the St. Louis Public Radio staff, and as well as by the public as well. And so it has gone, I think, remarkably well in the first 7 months. And all of the indicators also show, in terms of audience and things like that, that it's being well received as well.
Margie, did you feel any sense of danger when this whole thing was being conceived?
Well, certainly a sense of adventure about it. And I had not worked in a radio newsroom before, and we were trying to create something that went beyond being either a radio newsroom or a web-focused newsroom. We were trying to create a news organization that could reach people in many ways. And we had our theories about how it would work, but you never know until you just dive in and do it. And we've been really excited about how it's worked out.
Give me your take on bringing these two cultures together, because they are different. We're talking about a print medium on the one hand and broadcasting on the other. They are different.
They are different, and the skill sets that people had were somewhat different. So our first focus really was on getting the former Beacon reporters up to speed on just with the technical end of doing a little bit of radio. But it was a big change for the radio reporters, too, because most of them were general assignment reporters, and they were working in a much smaller newsroom than we have now. So were the Beacon people. And so the idea of developing a beat and really focusing not only on what you're covering that day, but also building long-term your knowledge of an area, that's a big change in thinking.
Tim, one of the things that I think was very noticeable to people in the building and to some degree outside was the fact not only do we have two different cultures, but we have two different generations, essentially. Margie, I'm sorry about this, but the Beacon folks are generally a little more experienced in terms of time and grade in the business than were the folks at St. Louis Public Radio. Not to take anything away from anybody, but that also could be an issue.
It could be an issue, but it could also be something, and I think we've been able to use it as an advantage because folks have been able to learn from one another. And I think that's what's been really exciting is that and not only learning from one another, but also giving the opportunity to specialize in their areas of expertise. One example is our data visualization editor, Brent Jones. Brent was doing many responsibilities, many tasks, while he was working at the Beacon, and now his focus has really been on developing graphics and data visualizations and putting that into a way that makes it understandable when you go to a story on the website. And that has been his sole focus. And I think having that singular focus has been, I think, really, really valuable to him and to the other reporters now, as Margie said, that are focusing on beats and having that specialized expertise on covering a certain area of the different things that we're looking to try to cover here in St. Louis.
One of the things that you see and hear in what you've just said is we're no longer talking about just a radio station.
Absolutely.
Everything has changed in that regard. We're online, and the online presence is extraordinarily important.
It is, and it is important in all these platforms, whether it's a website or whether it's social media or whether it's a radio broadcasting or whether we're going out into the public and doing live events. We've been been talking at about an event that we've got coming up in Normandy, talking about the Normandy schools with a couple of our reporters that have been focused on that. Those are very, very important pieces that we are looking to try to do in all the different areas of focus. It's we have a strategy really around building on these different platforms and live, radio, digital, social media, all a piece of it.
So, Margie, that requires adjustments on everybody's part.
It requires a different way of thinking, really. Yeah. But if we're going to do a thorough, in-depth coverage of local news, we need to do more than just put it on air. It needs to be online. We need to be reaching out in social media. If we're going to reach people the way they want to be reached, we have to be versatile and we have to think carefully about how we're telling stories.
Tim, I'll never forget a comment you had a year or so ago in which you said that people don't listen to the radio anymore. They listen to their phone and they listen to their iPad. I mean, that's how they're getting their information. And, of course, that's where the online material is as well.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's a matter of all of these different places. I mean, radio listening is still very strong. I mean, you're still reaching close to 90% of the population on a weekly basis with radio. But there's certain populations that are going to their phones first or going to their iPad or their computer first to listen to audio or to see and read news. And we have to be there in that space or we will become irrelevant over time. And so it's a matter of really trying to serve people wherever they go as opposed to just expecting them to come to 90.7 here in St. Louis and 90.3 up in the Quincy Hannibal area.
We've got to vacate our space right here for 1 minute, and we'll do that. Come back, continue our conversation with Tim Eby, General Manager of St. Louis Public Radio, and with Margie Freivogel, the editor here at St. Louis Public Radio. We're talking about where we are with regard to the merger of the St. Louis Beacon and St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Tim Eby and Margie Freivogel of St. Louis Public Radio about the merger 7 months ago between the two organizations, St. Louis Public Radio and the St. Louis Beacon, how that's going and where it's going. But before we continue, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. The Metropolitan Taxicab Commission is considering changing its rules today so that the ride-sharing app Uber could operate in St. Louis, but only Uber's high-end service known as Uber Black would be included. The app allows potential riders to use their mobile phones to order Uber's high-end town car. Uber is not pleased with the commissioner's rule change because it also imposes a $25 minimum on all Uber Black rides, and it does not open the door wider for other ride-sharing services. And the State Department of Education is meeting in Jefferson City today. They'll get an update on the progress the Normandy Schools Collaborative is making in hiring teachers and getting ready for the new year. When the Normandy School District was dissolved at the end of June, all contracts with teachers and other personnel were canceled. As of Monday, the collaboration had hired 80% of the staff it needs, from custodians to principals. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on 90.7 KWMU and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to the conversation with Tim Eby and Margie Freivogel. Tim, back to you. Is this collaboration or merger is the better word, the preferred word, between St. Louis Public Radio and the Beacon, is this a template for other parts of the country, do you think?
It's been amazing, the number of comments and phone calls and just conversations that I've had with other public radio leaders about what we're doing here. This is really a first-in-the-nation thing that happened here in St. Louis between a nonprofit online news organization and an existing public radio organization. And it's received a lot of comments and interest from folks because I think one of the big things that public radio is looking at as digital distribution and digital platforms become more and more prevalent in the lives of people, that local impact and that local service that you provide has got to be more and more important to what you do. And so most public radio stations are looking at how they can expand that local service. And what we were able to find by coming together with the Beacon and having the support from so many generous donors to support that effort has been, I think, something that people are looking at as great models for the future.
Margie, you have contacts all over the country, given your many years in journalism and the various posts that you've had outside of St. Louis when you were with the Post-Dispatch. What are you hearing from your newspaper, former newspaper colleagues about this idea of merger of the two organizations?
Yeah, well, I think they're watching to see what's happening. I mean, newspapers have been the dominant medium in metropolitan areas in terms of news coverage, but newspapers everywhere, their newsrooms have shrunk, and they're really not going to ever get back to the size that they were. I had the privilege within the last month to be at two conferences, one with public radio directors and one with the heads of nonprofit news organizations. And I said the same. I was asked to be on a panel because there's a great deal of interest in what's going on in St. Louis. And I said the same thing in both places, that I thought public radio stations working with nonprofit news organizations are in a position to engineer a real renaissance of local news coverage. And that people need that because they need good reporting to figure out where their community is headed and what they can do about it.
How do you think this community is better served now with this merger?
Well, you can just look at our news report and see that we're able to cover more different topics without sacrificing the depth and context that we want to bring to things. And I think because we are public media, we have a clear public service focus to what we're doing, and we can keep first and foremost what we think is going to be the most useful reporting for people in St. Louis.
What are the challenges ahead, Tim?
I think the challenges ahead long term are I think what every news organization is facing right now is the economics. We were able to raise $3 million in funds from the community to help cover the first 5 years of our organization coming together. And so we're on a pretty solid financial footing. We need to continue to raise money, obviously, with the sponsorship, or corporate sponsorship and underwriting and the membership and all of that. And the events that we do. But I think long term, it's really how do you sustain yourself in the long term? And so we're looking at a lot of different ideas as to how to continue to grow revenue to offset that and to run the operation more efficiently as well. But I think every organization is looking for that, particularly, again, as the audience becomes more fragmented. It is a challenge to maintain that loyalty. We know that the pledge drives, for example, that listeners have, for better or worse, have become familiar to them with their broadcast channel may be changing in a digital world, and how we adapt for that, and how we raise money from individuals as well as from businesses and foundations is changing, and we've got to adapt to that to sustain ourselves in the long term. So, I mean, that's really the biggest challenge. I think the other piece of it is ensuring that we have the highest quality talent here in all areas of the organization. I mean, we have an extremely talented staff. We are just very lucky to have the quality people working here in the organization. And we need to just continue to keep hiring and keep folks, retaining folks to provide that service, because it's the people that are going to make all the difference.
We have a few minutes. I'll open the lines for phone calls, and maybe we can get a couple in. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd like to send us a tweet, do so at STL on air. What about our Public Insight Network, Margie Vreinvogel? This is another attempt, obviously, to bring our readers and listeners into the process. How's that working?
It's working very well. We have several thousand members of that, and it's one way that we can get a deeper understanding of what people know and what they want to know from us, and so we can be more effective in finding sources who really know what they're talking about, whether it's by their expertise or their experience. And we can also understand what they're interested in finding out about. I would say, in addition to the challenges that Tim mentioned, we have an overall challenge. You can think of it in a way as distribution, but it's really more fundamental than that. News organizations used to operate on a model of one-to-many, but now you have to think of it as one-to-one and then to the next one and then to the next one. You really have to have a very individualized understanding of what people are interested in.
Back to the PIN, Public Insight Network. Very, very quickly, for those who don't know, how does it work?
It's essentially a big database that we have. People sign up for it, voluntarily tell us something about themselves, where they live, where they work, what they're interested in, and they answer questions that we pose which are often about specific topics that we're beginning to report on, or we may ask them, what would you like to know in the area of, say, student transfers or economic development? So you can find a link to the Public Insight Network. You can sign up by going to our website, stlpublicradio.org, and find out more there.
Audience engagement, Tim, terrifically important.
Oh, it's huge. And I it's more important. And Margie runs the newsroom. But I think we all are thinking about this idea that in the old days of producing journalism, you'd publish the story and you'd move on to the next thing. And it's not that way anymore. You have to first find what the questions are you want to ask, maybe get out and start talking to people through social media channels or in person to discover and gain information. You publish the story. And then once the story is published, you're asking questions again and asking for feedback and trying to follow up and learning more. And it's through these different channels and communication vehicles that allows us to do that. So, and I think that's really I think the expectation of the audience is to do that now. And so we have to deliver upon that that expectation no matter where we publish the story. If it's a radio piece, we have to find ways to engage people following that story and how this radio piece is affecting and impacting their lives. And the same thing goes with anything we might publish on the web or put on social media or whatever channels we end up doing these things on.
It's also helpful to talk show hosts as well because, for instance, tomorrow we're doing a program with the Democratic candidates for St. Louis County Executive. We're using the public network to bring questions and concerns into that conversation, which is very, very helpful. Let's take a call. John is joining us from Alton. Let's get him into the conversation. Go ahead, John.
Oh, hi, Don. Thank you. I think the station is a treasure to St. Louis. I think it adds to the quality of life here. I wondered about the possibility of bringing Neil Conan onto the lineup. And also, real quick, I really enjoy Will Shortz and his puzzles.
Well, that's great. Well, Will Shortz is great on Sunday mornings, on Sunday weekend edition, and it's amazing how easy it is to play that when you're sitting in your kitchen eating breakfast and listening to that. But I can only imagine how challenging it is if you're on the other end of the line and Will is asking those questions. Regarding Neil Conan, as most folks know, Neil and Talk of the Nation left the air about a year ago. There's been some talk of him doing some live events across the country, and I think he and Ken Rudin have done a few live events, but there's at least at this point in time, we haven't heard much of anything of Neil wanting to do regular radio again. I think he's kind of enjoying a little bit more of a relaxed life and not having to do all the book work and that needs to be done to do a daily talk show at this point in time. But appreciate your call. We all love Neil Conan. He's been here to St. Louis many, many times. He's a friend of mine, and we certainly miss him on the air, that's for sure.
Margie, something new for you, because anytime there's a program change, people are going to call or someone leaves or comes. There's a lot of discussion about that.
People feel strongly about these things.
Yeah. Tell me more, for instance. I know you're getting a lot of comments.
We are,
about
and we were sad to see that program leave the air. We brought Michelle and the program to St. Louis last fall. They did a live show from here, and we just felt that program was one that really did touch a subject and bring voices that a lot of public radio doesn't do, bringing diverse voices and diverse ideas to the program and to the airwaves. And we're sad to see it go. We've got, I think, some exciting things coming in its replacement, but we certainly feel that it's a missing piece in the public radio landscape. We were sad that NPR, because of some of the financial challenges NPR has had, they made the decision to drop the program. It really wasn't anything that we had any control of over, unfortunately.
I'll take one more call. Time is getting away. Jerry and O'Fallon, it's got to be quick. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I think you offer some excellent information. I mean, it's a terrible thing. I'm a journalism major, and I used to read papers from traveling all over the country, and it's a terrible thing, first of all, to be a one newspaper city, and no animus here, but frankly, if that one newspaper is the Post-Dispatch, they really seem to have lost their way as far as depth. And your Legal Roundtable show that and the coverage of our Missouri state legislature. Those are both very, very important topics. I wish people would pay more attention to them, but I applaud you for bringing that information to the public, because it's, you just, you know, the breadth you're going to find, you know, bloggers are going to catch any whatever.
Jerry, we've got the point. Appreciate your comments. Time is getting away from us, but thank you for your loyalty to this program. Jerry,
Margie, you might want to talk about our new Washington, D.C. reporter, Jim Howard, who we'll be hearing here on St. Louis on the Air, I'm sure, in the coming weeks ahead.
Right. We've got a minute, Margie.
He's just starting this week. He's not only had experience as a newscaster for NPR in Washington, but he spent many years as a political reporter in Springfield, Illinois. And we're very excited about having him on board to deepen our political coverage.
Yeah, we hope to use him on this program as well as we did Rob Koenig when he was with the Beacon before he went off to Moscow. 45 seconds left. Tim Eby, another of those challenges I sense is the fact of drawing a younger audience into the picture. You need another generation of audience.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where having the strategy to reach people wherever they go, if it's radio or if it's audio on their iPhones or text on their iPhones, we're looking to try to reach out and engage people wherever they're at and to provide content that is meaningful to them, whatever platform it's on. It may be presented in a different way to reach a younger audience, but we'll be there. But the key is depth, comprehensive coverage, context. That's what we're really all about.
Full speed ahead. It's only been 7 months since all this got started, so lots to do and plenty of time to do it.
Thanks, Don.
Tim Eby and Margie Freivogel, thank you so much for being with us. Continued good luck. Now get back to work. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk to Democratic candidates for St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley and Steve Stenger in advance of the August 5th primary. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.